Our study tonight is out of Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, God's indictment of Israel's priests for failing as Bible teachers. God's punishment is very painful, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. This was the theme of Hosea, the deathbed prophet of Israel and the last prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel before it fell to Assyria in divine judgment. Hosea 4, 1-11 presents God's indictment of Israel's priests for failing in their divine calling as teachers of God's word, and we view the passage for our insight and edification. It's interesting that there's one passage in the New Testament that likens to some degree today's pastor with the Old Testament priests. They did have care. They were supposed to minister and lead in the worship, but they were also responsible to teach the word. You had whole cities of priests within 15 miles of every Jew, where you had whole cities of priests that were supposed to spend at least 8 hours a day studying scripture. So if you had a question about the law, you could go there and you would get, 100, 200 opinions from all these expert priests. That's what God wanted. He wanted his people to be taught the word of God. But they failed. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Hosea chapter 4, 1-11. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no loyal love, nor knowledge of God in the land. By falsely swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwells therein shall languish. With the beasts of the field and with the birds of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man bring a court case or indictment or reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive or bring a case against the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more a priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people like priest, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take up to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart of my people. All right. In Hosea 4:1, especially in the English Standard Version, God proclaimed that he had a charge to bring against all the people who lived in the land of Israel, that the people had lacked faithfulness, steadfast or loyal love, and the knowledge of God. Now, those are very basic attributes that you need in society. You have to have trust. You have to have loyalty. There has to be reliability, and especially a knowledge of God. Well, to clarify, the Lord explained in Hosea 4:2 that in place of these very basic essential characteristics in the nation, there was false cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery. Now, it's interesting. Each one of those sins that are named are a violation of one of the basic Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1-7. Stealing, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. They would put a curse by claiming the name of the Lord, but they were making false curses, so that was violating that commandment. They were bearing false witness against one another. They were lying. Murder, stealing, they weren't supposed to kill, but they were. They were stealing. Adultery, that was another thing. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Every one of these sins was a violation of the basic Ten Commandments. Now, you would think that people would be aware of the basic Ten Commandments. You're not supposed to violate that. In fact, even in our society today, as far as, even though it's gone far from God, people, even in the secular realm, are familiar with the word Ten Commandments. Somehow they have a memory of that. Well, in God's view, the people thus broke all bonds of law and order, to where bloodshed followed bloodshed in endless violent murders. And God had to punish the land with a severe drought in accordance with the Mosaic covenant. God had said that, you know, if you violate my law in Deuteronomy 28:15, that you're going to be, the heavens will be as brass, so to speak, and the earth will be like dust. So that land animals, birds and fish of the sea were actually dying. So you have a terrible state of affairs here where there's been such a breakdown in law and order. The basic Ten Commandments are no longer being heeded, and people are killing one another, murdering one another, one after the other, after the other. So it's just like the whole string of bloodshed is going on. So, you know, at this point, we're asking ourselves, what's going on? What's the problem? Nevertheless, God forbade anyone in Israel from being in a charge against someone else for such sins, for they were all so insubordinate to human and divine institutions that for any of them to bring a charge against another was like charging a priest in defiance of God's human legal authorities. So there was a tremendous amount of upheaval and insubordination. People were insubordinate to parents. They were insubordinate to the priests. They were insubordinate to the rulers, the elders. It was incredible. Well, having mentioned the priests, God then charged even them with great sin for failing in their callings as priests to teach God's word to where the nation had ended up in its terrible state. So what God does, he goes around, he points out all the sins, and then he takes his long finger and he points it at the priests. You guys, you're the ones. You caused this. And what God would say to do today, he would point to preachers, pastors. Stop preaching the word. And that's one reason we're in the situation we are. I dare say if every pastor in this country was obeying God and preaching the word of God, it would create a stir in this country. But that's long gone. There are a lot of pastors that are not doing that. In fact, I heard of a pastor one time, he would go to the Dunkin' Donuts and he would prepare a sermon out of Reader's Digest or Newsweek. That would be Saturday night. Then he'd be preaching the sermon out of, you know, Newsweek or the Saturday Evening Post or whatever the next Sunday morning. And that's not pleasing to the Lord. But anyway, the priests were morally stumbled, and they morally stumbled all the time. That is day and night. Day and night is what they call an antinomial pair, which means if it's day and night, it means all the time. And then the false prophets morally stumbled all of the time right along with them. God thus said that he would destroy their mother. And in the context, the mother is Samaria, the mother city, where the wicked kings lived and who the priests and prophets sought to please for material reward and honor instead of pleasing the Lord. See, what they were doing, instead of looking to the Lord to meet their livelihood needs, they had a mother on the earth, and their mother was the capital city where the king was. So you want to please the king. And if you please the king, then he would give you some money. And then you'd have, so they were, you know, on the take, so to speak, from the king. And that's why you had a lot of false prophets, and the priests were just, they were in it just for the money, so they would say whatever the king wanted them to say, make the king happy. So Samaria was the mother city. The Lord also asserted that his people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge that the priests were supposed to have imparted about the Lord and his ways from Scripture. Every time I look at the first part of verse 6 in Hosea 4, it hits me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Boy, lack of knowing the truth. Since the priests had rejected the knowledge themselves, God was rejecting them as priests, for they had ignored the written scriptures and the law of their God. The last part of verse 6. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. And thou shalt be no priest to me. So God was going to reject them from the priesthood. It's just a terrible situation here. In fact, God would ignore the children of the priests, just as the priests had ignored God's word, meaning that the sons of the priests would not inherit their father's office of priest. This is going to come to pass when you have the invasion, Assyria comes in, conquers them, and then they're taken off. They're no longer going to serve as priests. Then the sons of the priests would be in bondage in Assyria. Well, the Lord then detailed the sins of the priests in verses 7 to 11 as follows. The more the priests increased in number, instead of the greater number of priests influencing each other to live more righteously, the more they all sinned against the Lord. You would think, for example, if pastors got together, let's say a pastor was having a difficult time getting his act together, living for the Lord, if he would get together with other pastors, maybe 10, 12, 15 pastors, and meet together, that they would strengthen one another. And that's normally the idea. But what's happened is the more the priests multiplied, the greater number of priests that gathered together, the worse they got. They were just passing their sins around. And unfortunately, that is beginning to happen even in our country amongst ministers. So, the priests exchanged their glory, that's a reference to God, for something disgraceful, for pagan idols. In fact, they had stopped worshiping the Lord and they had started worshiping pagan idols. We have had two school teachers who started coming to our Sunday school service this last Sunday. One teacher was led to the Lord through Liz Apruza had been ministering to her, and when the election, the presidential election, went the way it did, she was very disillusioned. She was really hoping that President Trump would get in, and she was distraught, wondering what was going to happen to this country and the world, and Liz indicated, you need to accept Christ as your Savior. So that teacher went home, gave the gospel to her whole family, and the whole family accepted Christ. And that teacher was in church on Sunday, second grade teacher. And it's amazing. They are recognizing that by accepting this critical race theory, they're throwing out whole sections of Scripture. The National Education Association is, and they're bringing in Marxism. And these teachers recognize it. And they came to the service on Sunday and they needed air. They needed to, you know, get their wits about them. But they're just, they're right on their front lines. The priests then fed on the people's sins. That is, they encouraged the people to multiply their hypocritical sacrifices that God hated due to greed, in that the priests ate of the improper offerings. See, the priests, according to the law, were supposed to be able to eat some of the offerings. So even though the people were offering offerings that were wrong, the priests had kept aching them on, yeah, because that's our food. And since we're being fed, let the people go ahead. Let's say they're not doing it correctly. That's all right. We're going to have some food. So you can see the greed in this. These men certainly didn't deserve to be in the office. Accordingly, like the people, so it would be with the priests. For both the people and their priests would be punished for their sins and repaid by the Lord for their deeds. And I believe many pastors are going to be punished by the Lord because they've gotten away from ministering the Word of God and giving the gospel. There's a great need to stay faithful to the Lord in this. The priests and people would eat but not have enough. They would increase in cultic prostitution to promote fertility, but without success, since they had deserted the Lord to give themselves to spiritual prostitution with its ingestion of error, figuratively described as wine and new wine that take away the spiritual understanding of God's people. It's a very sorry state of affairs. The priests themselves are actually involved in pagan worship. Amazing. So the lesson is the total breakdown of the most basic forms of law and order in Israel was the direct result of the failure of the Aaronic priests to heed and to teach the word of God. They instead tried to please ungodly kings and indulged in pagan and false religious rituals due to personal greed. Accordingly, God would severely punish these priests. So, may all of us who teach God's word today realize that what we teach greatly affects the welfare of God's people. See, the nation went downhill steeply to the point where they were violating some of the basic commandments of the Ten Commandments of God. And they did it because the priests stopped preaching. They stopped preaching the Ten Commandments. And that's what happens when we stop preaching the word. So, I make this lesson applicable to myself as a pastor, but I make it also applicable to anyone who's teaching. It may be teaching in a Sunday school class or a vacation Bible school. Maybe it's teaching children in our families, maybe a class that we're teaching somewhere, a Bible class. We need to realize that what we teach will greatly affect the welfare of our listeners, because they're going to listen and they're going to be applying that teaching in their lives. We've got to make sure that we're correct, but that we're giving the content and not backing away from it. And then number two, may all of us teachers realize that our great accountability to God is to please God, not men. There's a tendency, and I've had to fight this myself many, many times in the pastorate, to just shy away from ministering something because you know it's going to rattle the cage. You know, it's going to, it's like rubbing the cat the wrong way, petting it from the tail up. That irritates the cat. But sometimes, you know, you have to minister the word. You have to pet, you know, the cat backwards, and because you have to expose sin. But I mean, we can do it in a way that is confidential. We can do it in a way that respects the privacy of individuals. But if there is sin in the group that we're seeking to teach, and the Bible deals with that sin, we need to point out from the Bible that's sin. Because God's people need it. They need to know that, you know, there has to be a repentance here. There has to be a turnaround. So may we realize our great accountability to God to please Him, not men. Someday when we stand before the Lord Jesus, and the one who's going to be sitting there up on that bema seat looking at us, it's not going to be some of the students in our class. It's not going to be people in the congregation. It's going to be the Lord. And we're going to give an account to Him. So we have to please Him. And that's our number one priority.